So we're going to start from the bottom of Nun Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Okay, so the Mishnah said... Yeah, can everyone just mute themselves also if you're not muted already? Okay, so the Mishnah said, Amar shvisasi bi'ikaro, mahalich mimakom raglov v'adikaro alpayim ama, umeikaro leveso alpayim ama, nimtza mahalich mishech hasheicha dalet alathim ama. The Mishnah constructed the following scenario. Let's say a person says, I want to establish my makom shvisa, I want to make the place where I begin Shabbos by a tree trunk, by the root of a tree. So the Mishnah says that he can walk from wherever he is until the tree trunk, 2,000 amos, and then he can walk an additional 2,000 amos from the tree trunk back to his house. So the Mishnah says it turns out that you could have a scenario where a person could potentially walk 4,000 amos from after Shabbos begins. So the Gemara qualifies this statement. Amar Rava, v'hu dechi rahid li karo mate. So Rava says that's only the case if a person could theoretically have gotten back to the tree trunk by the time Shabbos began. If there was no way you could have made it back to the tree trunk when Shabbos began, then you're not allowed to walk the 4,000 amos. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Amar le abaye, v'hachashecha lo katane. But didn't the Mishnah say that it was already after dark? In other words, the implication is that this person was walking 4,000 amos after Shabbos already began. So how could Rava say that the person has to make it to the tree trunk by the time Shabbos starts? That's not what it sounds like from the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, no. Chashcha leveso aval ikaro shel ilan matze azel. So the first answer the Gemara says is that when the Mishnah said that it got dark on the way, meaning that Shabbos began before you arrived at your destination, that meant that Shabbos began before you arrived at your house. However, when it comes to arriving at the tree trunk, you have to get to the tree trunk before Shabbos actually begins. That's one version. Ika d'amri, another version. Amar Rava, chashchalo ki maske kale kale aval rahit mate. Then a second version of the Gemara is that it depends on how quickly you're walking. In other words, if you're able to theoretically have made it to the tree trunk by walking quickly, that would be okay. But in other words, if you were to be walking slowly, you would not get there in time before Shabbos begins. That's the case where the Gemara says that it's going to be okay for you to still walk the total of 4,000 amos, if in theory you could have gotten there had you been walking a little bit faster. Okay, then the Gemara says, Rabba v'Rav Yosef havu ka'azli b'orcha. So Rabba and Rav Yosef were traveling on the road. So Amar le Rabba le Rav Yosef, Rabba was basically telling Rav Yosef, let's establish our makom shvisa, let's begin Shabbos under a particular tree. The Gemara gives two versions about what exactly this tree was. One version is that it's a tree that would support another tree, which basically means that it was one tree that the branches leaned over onto the other tree. And the second version of the Gemara is that it was a tree that would relieve its owner from paying taxes, which basically just means that the tree bore a very significant amount of fruit to the point that it made the owner very wealthy, so he would be exempted from, in other words, those fruits would get him off the hook for paying certain taxes. So either way, the point is that Rabba says to Rav Yosef, let's establish our makom shvisa under that particular tree. So Amar Le Lo Yadana Le. So Rav Yosef said to Rabba, I don't know which tree you're referring to. He says, I'm not familiar with that tree that you're describing. So Amar Le. So Rabba said, don't worry about it. Smoch Alai. Desanya Rav Yosef Omer Im Hayu Shnai. So Rabba says to Rav Yosef, don't worry about it. He says, even though you don't know where this tree is, but I know where the tree is. And Rav Yosef tells us that if I have two people that are traveling on the road as Shabbos is about to begin, and they want to establish a makom shvisa, and only one of the two people is familiar either with the location that he's referring to or with the halachos in general, he could tell the other person who's not familiar with the location of the tree or the place where they want to establish their makom shvisa, you could say to him, basically, give over your rights to declaring a makom shvisa to me, and then I'll make this, I'll make a declaration in plural. I'll say, let our makom shvisa be in such and such a place, and even though you don't know where that is, but it's okay, because I know where it is, and that's good enough. However, the Gemara points out, v'lohi lo tanale ki Rav Yosi, ela ki hechi de likabel amine mishum de Rav Yosi nimuko imo. Now, the Gemara doesn't really reject this halacha per se, but it does reject a certain aspect of this, because remember Rabba, when he was telling Rav Yosef this idea that, oh, you don't know where the tree is, so just give permission to establish your makom shvisa over to me, he cited Rav Yosef as the precedent for that halacha, and the Gemara says that in fact it was not Rav Yosef who made that statement. If Rav Yosef didn't make the statement, why did Rabba quote Rav Yosef? So the Gemara says because Rav Yosef was a person who was called nimuko imo, which literally means that the depth was with him, which basically basically means that he was very, very smart, and therefore we often paskin like Rabbi Yossi. So even though this halacha happens to be true, but the Gemara, but in other words, but Rabba wanted to really assure Rabbi Yossi that this was in fact correct, so he quoted Rabbi Yossi, who is someone that we almost always follow, to kind of reassure him that this is in fact the halacha. Okay.
In aspect, is that person what, that
wait, sorry. Point? Wait, sorry, one second. Danny, what was it? Yeah. What was that? I'm sorry?
Aspect of shlichus.
So, okay, it's a good question. This doesn't necessarily have to follow the regular halachas of shlichus. We're going to actually talk a little bit about shlichus as we go on this stuff. We'll see a little bit more about that later. But this is just the idea that when two people jointly establish a makom shvisa, if the second person willingly says, okay, I'm handing my rights over to you, I don't know if that's necessarily called shlichus, but it just means that he's allowing the other person to kind of do things for him. Again, it could be like a form of shlichus. Yeah, Bill, you have a question?
Danny sort of asked my question.
Okay.
If I said to this person, you are my shaliach.
So right. So. Yeah, in other words, this Gemara does make it sound like that, you know, Rav Yosef did have to kind of, you know, hand over some sort of permission, some sort of reshus to Rabba to do this. Again, I'm not sure if I would necessarily call this shlichus per se, but it does require, you know, Rav Yosef's reshus to a certain degree. Yeah. Okay. Then we said, im eno makiro she'eno baki. The Mishnah said if the person who's walking with you either doesn't know the specific location that you're referring to, or maybe is just not well-versed in the halachos at all, so then again, you can establish the makom shvisa for him. So the Gemara wants to know, this really is a fundamental question that we probably should have asked, you know, maybe like two prakim ago. Hane alpayim ama heichan ksivan. Again, we've been working on this assumption for the last, I don't know, 20, 30 daf, that there is this concept of 2,000 amos, that the definition of a tchum is 2,000 amos. And the question is, which the Gemara never asked until daf nun aleph, what is the source for that? How do we know that a tchum is defined as 2,000 amos? Says the Gemara, very, very kind of long-winded drasha. Desanya, the pasuk says, shivu ish tachtav elu arba amos. Al yetze ish mi mekomo elu al payim amos. So the first part is pretty straightforward. It's a pasuk in Parshas Bishalach when the Torah says. So when in other words, when the Torah describes when Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael the certain halachas pertaining to Shabbos. So first of all, he says shivu ish tachtav. Each person has to stay in their location. That's arba amos. And then when the pasuk says al yetze ish mi mekomo, a person cannot leave his place. That refers to 2,000 amos. So you see from this pasuk that the definition of a tchum is 2,000 amos. But still, how do you see that from the pasuk? The Gemara says, alpayim amos, in other words, the Gemara says, menalan. Okay, but still, how do you know that it has to be specifically 2,000 amos? So, Amar Rav Chista, laman umakom mimakom, umakom minisa, venisa minisa, venisa migvol, ugvol migvol, ugvol michutz, vechutz michutz. Dechsev, umadusem michutz la iras pas, kedma alpayim ba'ama. It's a very, very kind of long-winded drasha where the Gemara is basically compiling together three or four different psukim from Parshas Maaseh and Parshas Mishpatim and Parshas Bishalach. Basically, the gist of this drasha is the following. The Gemara is referencing psukim regarding an ir miklat and regarding the Arei HaLevim, the parameters, the boundaries of the city of the Levim, which, by the way, also acted as forms of Arei miklat, as the Gemara points out. So the Gemara basically says that we know from the psukim in Parshas Maaseh that describe the boundaries of the Arei HaLevim, the pasuk says explicitly that it has to be 2,000 amos. The pasuk says, Umadosem michutz la'ir espa'as kedma al Alpayim ba'ama. Alpayim ba'ama means 2,000 amos. So because it says alpayim ba'ama by the Arei HaLevim, and the Gemara quotes you all these different words, you know, all these similar words that are written in different contexts, we kind of trace it all the way back to Hilchos Shabbos, and from there we know that the shear of 2,000 amos is also the shear of tchum when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. So the Gemara says, but hang on one second. V'neilaf mikira.
It's a weird way of saying it, though, when you say alpayim ba'ama. As opposed to alpayim amos.
Well, no. In the context of the Arei HaLevim, so if you look at the psukim in Parashas Maaseh, the psukim are delineating the boundaries for each direction. So it says to the east it was X amount, to the west it was X amount. So in other words, each time it says alpayim ba'ama, it was this amount in this direction, that amount in that direction. So in other words, it's just using that lashon because that fits contextually with the psukim by Arei HaLevim. So we're kind of extrapolating to Hilchos Shabbos now. So the Gemara wants to know v'neilaf mikira. But if you look in that same section in Parshas Maaseh, that same pasuk, in fact, the pasuk says Mikira Yir Vachutza Elef Amah. The pasuk also gives as a possible definition of a boundary of a tchum as 1,000 amos. So how do we know to go to the 2,000 amish here and not the 1,000 amish here? So says the Gemara, Don in chutz michutz, ve'ain don in chutz michutza, because the words that the Torah uses in each of those contexts are slightly different. When it comes to the 2,000 amah, when it comes to alpayim ba'amah. So the pasuk uses the word chutz, just as it uses the word chutz over here by Hilchos Shabbos. But when it comes to the 1,000 amah, the pasuk says the word chutza as opposed to the word chutz, and therefore when it comes to making a gzeirah shavah, we know that we always try to be as precise as possible. Even though the word chutz and chutz are basically the same thing, but we're going to try to be as exacting as possible when it comes to a gzeirah shavah. So the Gemara says, but hang on, umay nafkamina, hatana dvei Rabbi Yishmael, v'shava kohenu v'hakohen, zohi shiva, zohi bia. The Gemara says, but hang on one second, this notion that we have to be so exacting with the words when it comes to deriving a gzeirah shavah, it's in fact not the case, because the Gemara quotes a famous statement that was made in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yishmael, that the Gemara wants to derive a halacha regarding Hilchos Tzaras. The Torah says, v'shav hakohen uva hakohen. The Torah says, in terms of the Kohen coming to inspect a house that contracts Tzaras, so first it says, v'shav hakohen, the Kohen returns, and then it also says, uva hakohen, the Kohen comes in. Now, the word v'shav and the word uva, they happen to mean the same thing, but they're totally different words, and yet the Gemara, because the words mean the same thing, even though they're completely different words, the Gemara actually derives a gzeirah shavah from those words. So the Gemara says, why are we assuming now? Chutz and chutzah, I would say, is a lot closer than shav and ba, right? In other words, just in terms of how the words sound. So the Gemara says, if we find a precedent that we're allowed to make a gzeirah shavah on the word shav and ba, which are, again, they mean the same thing, but they're totally different words, so why then is it so crazy to make a gzeirah shavah from the word chutz to the word chutzah? So the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, hani mile hecha deleka midi de damile, aval hecha deika midi de damile, medamile alfina. And the Gemara says, no, that idea, that notion, that yes, you can derive a gzeirah shavah from words that are not exactly the same, that's when you have no alternative. Here, you have the exact same word written in the context of 2,000 amos, namely the word chutz, so why would you run to the word chutzah by 1,000 amos when you have the word chutz written by 2,000 amos? Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, alpayim amah agulos, so the Gemara, so in other words, the Mishnah presented a machlokes about how exactly to calculate these 2,000 amos. Do we calculate them as a regular square, or do we calculate them, in other words, in terms of a circle? So that's going to obviously have ramifications in terms of the area, in terms of, you know, the size, the diameter, the radius, all those things are going to play a role depending on how you calculate the 2,000 amos. So the Gemara says, the Rabbi Chanina ben
Antipas. Why would that be a question? Is that the same question that comes up with the extension of the land for the Levian?
Again, we're going to see this in a second in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to possibly distinguish between the Arei HaLevim and Shabbos. We'll see that it's going to be a machlokas in the Gemara actually about that in 1 second. But yeah, but this really is a general question. Whenever the Torah gives you a measurement of any kind, how do you assess that measurement? How do you know? Is it circular? Is it square? Like how are you supposed to figure that out? So,
but if they've established that it's the 2,000 based on what the Levium is, why wouldn't you think it's whatever that is the same thing?
Okay, so again, we're gonna have to see right now in the Gemara. The Gemara is gonna explain this right now. We'll see. So the Gemara says,
Rabbi, another tidbit of information.
Yes.
It says the distance between the Ark of the Covenant and the camp of the Israelites during the Exodus was estimated to be 2,000 amos.
Okay, there you go. Okay, so again, the question is, are these 2,000 amos circular or square? So the Gemara says, V'Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonos Manavshach, I es le gzeirah shavah peos ksivan, I les le gzeirah shavah alpayim amah menale. So again, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonos is the one who thinks that the 2,000 amos are circular. The Chachamim think that it's square. So the Gemara has a problem with the opinion of Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonos. What's the problem? If he subscribes to this whole gzeirah shavah that we just cited earlier in the Gemara, so if you look in the Psukim in Parshas Maaseh, where again, the source for the 2,000 amos is from the Arei HaLevim, the Torah explicitly uses the word peos or paas, which means a square, which means a corner. Obviously, circles don't have corners. So then, how could he possibly think that the 2,000 amos are circular? On the other hand, if he denies the gzeirah shavah, so then how does he even know the number 2,000 amos in the first place, right? Because the whole source for 2,000 amos is derived from this gzeirah shavah. So says the Gemara, no, liolam is le gzeirah shavah, v'shayni hacha da'amar kra ze yiyeh lohem migrashei ha'arim, lazeata nosin peos, so this kind of addresses what Billy was saying before. According to Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonos, when the Pasuk says in Parshas Maaseh, Zeyihyeh lohem migrashei ha'arim, this will be the boundaries, this is going to be the border for the Arei HaLevim, that word Zeh is a limitation. It means specifically the Arei HaLevim are measured with 2,000 square amos, implying that when it comes to measuring the Tchum Shabbos, you measure them with circular amos. So that's the That's how Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonos derives that. How do the Rabbanan respond? The Rabbanan who say that even for Shabbos we measure it with square amos. For Rabbanan, Tani Rav Chananya Omer, Kazeyuhu Kol Shov Se Shabbos. They say no. The word Zeh is not an exception. The word Zeh is actually a paradigm. It says just as the Arei Halevim are measured with 2,000 square amos, so too when it comes to the Tchum Shabbos, it's also measured with 2,000 square amos. Okay. Then the Gemara says Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Hamavir Dalad Amos Berishus Harabim. So this is actually a very much a Hilchos Shabbos rule where the Gemara says that if a person passes something or carries something four amos in a Rishus HaRabim, which we know of course is the shear for which one is chayav for carrying or passing or throwing on Shabbos, you are only chayav not when you merely carry or pass or throw four amos, but four amos including its diagonal, right? In other words, the diagonal of a square is radical two times the size of the side. So in other words, which factors to something like an additional one, I think it's like 1.2 amos. So in other words, instead of saying four amos, in reality, we really mean that you need to carry something about 5.2 amos or so in order to actually be chayav on Shabbos. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa, Badik Lan Rava, Amud Berishus Harabim Gavoa Yud V'Rochav Dalid, Tzarech Ein V'Alach Sonan Olo. So the Gemara raised the question regarding a platform that was located in the Rishus Harabim, but the platform was 10 by 4 Tfachim. So usually when something is 10 by 4 tfachim, it basically qualifies as a Rishus Hayachid. So the question is, when it comes to that measurement, that shear of 10 by 4 tfachim, do we also need to factor the diagonal and do we need to tack on that additional, you know, 1.2 amos or whatever, tfachim, or whatever it is, or maybe not? The Amrinan lay lav hayne de Rav Chananya, the sign of Rav Chananya Omer Kazeyuhu Kol Shov Se Shabbos. We already saw in the Gemara earlier that according to the Rabbanan and according to Rav Chananya, you do need to factor in the diagonals because remember the Rabbanan were the ones who believed that the shear for Tchum Shabbos is a square, is the same thing as the Arei Halevim. So if you're going to use a square as your measurement, then you're going to have to factor in the diagonal of the square as well. Obviously, if it was a circular measurement, obviously that would not be a factor. Okay, then the Mishnah said, "V'zehu she'amru ha'ani ma'ariv baraglav." Amar Rabbi Meir, "Anu ein lanu elo ani." So we had a machlokes in the Mishnah. We're going to see in the Gemara in a second that there's actually a machlokes within this machlokes, but there was a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda regarding the leniencies and stringencies of an eruv tchumen. Now, again, we're accustomed to thinking that an eruv tchumen, as we spent a lot of time talking about in the previous perek, is established with food. I take a loaf of bread, I take a certain amount of dates, of wine, of beer, etc., and I put it in a location. I say, okay, my tchum Shabbos is going to be here and it's going to extend 2,000 amos. But the truth is that, and again, we actually mentioned this briefly last week, you can also establish an Erev Tchumen simply by walking to that location, staying there when Shabbos begins, and then walking back, right? So in other words, the Mishnah basically presented a machlokes about which of those methods is ideal and which of those is only bidiyevet. So basically, the Mishnah said that the notion that I can walk to a certain location and establish my makom shvisa there without using food, so according to the Mishnah, that was really a bidyeved option, and it should only be relied upon for a person who's an ani, for a person who maybe, let's say, can't afford to use food to establish his eruv tchumen. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, machlukes bimekomi. The Rabbi Meir savar ikar eruv befas, ani hu diakilu rabbanani lavei aval asher lo, for Rabbi Yehuda savar ikar eruv beregel, echad ani veechad asher, aval bimkom ploni divri hakol ani in asher lo, vizohi sha'amru man katani la, Rabbi Meir, veaheakai aino mak. So this is all the first version of the Gemara. This is all within Rav Nachman's opinion. Rav Nachman says the following. This machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda about what is considered the primary form of establishing an Eruv Tchumen. Is it via food or is it via walking? So according to Rav Nachman, that machlokes is only in a scenario where the person is bimekomi, where he says, I want my current location to be established for my Tchum Shabbos. So according to Rabbi Meir says that the primary way to establish an Erev Tchumen is by using food, by using bread, and that leniency, that kula, was in other words, that notion that I can simply walk to a location and not have to use food, was only a kula that Chazal invoked for a poor person who can't afford to have food, but if you're a wealthy person who can afford the food, then you cannot fall back on that leniency of just walking to the location. That's according to, that's That's according to Rav Nachman's version of Rabbi Meir. According to Rav Nachman's version of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that the primary way to establish an Eir of Tchumen is actually by walking there, and therefore that is a viable option for a wealthy person as well. But again, that's all within the case of Mikomi, where you're in that location. But let's say, for example, you want to set up your Eir of Tchumen not in your current location. You want to set it up to, that it should be somewhere else. So then, according to Rav Nachman, everybody agrees that that is only going to work for a poor person. Even Rabbi Yehuda will concede in this case, where again, I'm standing in one location and I want to set up my Eir of Tchumen somewhere else, that the only time that I'm going to be allowed to do that by walking to that location is if I'm poor, is if I can't afford to actually put food there. But if I can afford food, then even Rabbi Yehuda will concede, if it's in a different location, that I cannot rely on walking, I have to actually use food. And that's what the Gemara means, and that's what the Mishnah meant when it said that, that a person is, let's say, either not familiar with the halacha or doesn't know where the location of the tchum is. That kula of not using bread, of simply walking to that location, is only going to be a valid kula in a case where you're in that current location. But if it's somewhere else, so then everyone agrees that that kula of walking is only going to work for a poor person, not for somebody wealthy. That's all within Rav Nachman. Now the Gemara presents Rav Chista's opinion. Rav Chista Amar, machlokes bimkom ploni. The Rav Meir savar ani in asher lo. The Rav Yehuda savar echad ani ve'echad asher. Avol bimekomi divrei hakol echad ani ve'echad asher. The ikar eruv beregel. The zohi she'amru man katani lo Rabbi Meir. The aheyakai aha misha baba derech v'chashcha. The lo amru ma'arvin befasel lo hakel man katani lo divrei hakol. So in this version, this is Rav Chista. Rav Chista says almost the exact opposite of Rav Nachman. Rav Chista says that the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is actually about a case where I want to establish my mokum shvisa in a different location. So in this case, Rabbi Meir says that's only going to work for a poor person. But if you're wealthy, so then you're going to have to actually establish food as your Eir of Tchumen. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't matter if you're wealthy or if you're poor. You can establish your Eir of Tchumen by walking in either case. But if it's bimakomi, if it's in my current location, then everyone agrees, and even Rabbi Meir agrees, that even if I'm wealthy, I can establish my Eir of Tchumen right over here just by walking. I don't even have to use food. And again, the Gemara connects those lines from the Mishnah, in other words, to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda respectively. So now the question is, which of these opinions is correct? So the Gemara says, Tanya kivasei de Rav Nachman. We have a brisa that seems to support Rav Nachman. Echad ani ve'echad asher ma'arvin befas, ve'lo yatsa asher chutz latchum ve'yomer shvisasi bimekomi, lefi shelo amru ma'arvin beregel, elo lamisha baba derech v'chashcha divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Huda omer echad ani ve'echad asher ma'arvin beregel, ve'yatsa asher chutz latchum ve'yomer tehe shvisasi bimekomi, ve'zehu ikaru shel eruv, ve'hitiru I'm sorry. So in other words, again, the Gemara says that basically this machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda in this brisa seems to support Rav Nachman's contention, because if you look at the way that the brisa formulates the machlokas, it's always referring to the case of Mikomi. It's always referring to a case where I am currently here. I'm in my location. So if that case where I'm trying to establish an Eir of Tchumen right where I am now is subject to a machlokas, that would seem to follow Rav Nachman. That was the first sheet that we quoted in the Gemara where Rav Nachman said that the machlokas was about Mikomi in my location, as opposed to the case of Makom Ploni, a different location that everyone agrees is only going to work for an Ani, whereas Rav Chista said the exact opposite. So this Brisa seems to follow the Shita of Rav Nachman, and the Gemara just says, V'hitiru chachamim leval abayis l'shaleach iruvo b'yad avdo b'yad beno b'yad shlucho b'shvil l'hakel alav. And the Gemara even says that Chazal permitted a balabayis, again this kind of touches on something that Danny and Billy were saying before, that I can send my Eir of Tchumen almost via shlichus, through my Eved, through my child, through my, through my Shaliach, I can send it through him to establish, and that will act as a kula. So in other words, what the Gemara is basically saying here is that even if you're going to be machmir in general, that we say you can't just walk to your location and establish an Eir of Tchumen, you really need the food, but what you can do, what everyone says that you can do as a kula, is that you can hand it off to somebody else to do for you. In other words, you don't have to be the one specifically to set up the Eir of Tchumen, you can hand it off to somebody else, you can hand it off to your kid, to your Eved, to a Shliach, and they can establish it for you, and that's perfectly fine. Okay. Then the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yehuda, Ma'ase ba'anche beis mamalu ba'anche beis gurion ba'aroma, shehayu mechalken grogros v'tzimuken li'aniyim b'shnei batzores, uvoyen aniyeh kvar shichen va'aniyeh kvar chananya, u'machshichen al hatchum, l'macharas mashkimen uvoyen." The Gemara relates a story about these people from these different cities of beis mamal and beis gurion and the city of aroma, where they used to hand out raisins and dried figs to the aniyim during years of famine. And one time, there were these aniyim from other cities, from the city of Shichin and the city of Kfar Hanania, who they basically waited by the edge of the Tchum before Shabbos ended, so that this way the next morning, Sunday morning, they could come and be the first ones to get their share of the raisins and the dried figs. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, Mas Nisan Nami Deka, Dekatani, Misha Yatza Leilich La'ir Shema Arvin La, Vehechaziru Chaviro, Hu Mutter Leilich, Vechol B'nei Ha'ir Asurin Divri Rabbi Huda. The Gemara presents a statement from tomorrow's daf, where let's say for example, you had a person who was traveling from one city to another city, and there was a tchum. In other words, he basically had an air of tchum, so he was allowed to walk from that one city to the next. But then the problem was is that he met up with a friend on the way, and the friend convinced him to go back to the original city, or whatever it was. So now he's basically stuck. So the Gemara says that individual is permitted to walk back and forth from one city to the next, but everyone else in the city is not allowed to. So the Gemara says, "What do you mean? Va'avinam ba maishna ihu maishna enu?" Meaning, either there is an Erev Tchumen or there's not an Erev Tchumen. In other words, either you think that it's mutter for the guy to walk and then everyone should be allowed to walk back and forth from the two cities, or it should be usher for everyone to walk. Why are we making this arbitrary distinction between this person and everybody else? So the Gemara says, no, V'amar Rav Huna, hacha b'may haskinan, kigon sheyesh lo shnei batim u'shnei tchumei Shabbos b'nehen, ihu kevan denafka leilu orcha, haveli ani, v'hanach ashirim ninu, alma kolbim komploni, ani in, asher lo shmamina. The Gemara says, no, the reason why only this person is permitted to go back and forth is because he has the halachic status of a poor person. Why? Because he has two houses, one in each city, and once he gets kind of caught in the middle, so if he can't go back to his original house, and he's not allowed to go back and eat anything, so he's stuck. Now he's like an ani. So because he's an ani, that's the only reason why we're allowing him to go to the other house in the other city and to eat there on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, what do you see from here? You see from this Mishnah on tomorrow's daf, you see that this kula, this leniency that we're going to allow someone to basically just walk to the new location and call that a makum shvisa is only true for an ani. Now again, this guy is not actually an ani, but for all intents and purposes, in this case, we treat him as an ani because he's basically stuck. He can't go back to his original house on Shabbos. So you see from here that this leniency was only established specifically for a poor person. Okay.
Rabbi, yeah. How does the role of this ani and rich person jive with our example of Rabba and Rav Yosef, where they were just on the road and said, let me point this thing under the tree?
Well, no, that case is a little bit different, because there, again, they established their Makom Shvisa going into Shabbos. Again, it happened to me that Rav Yosef was unaware of the specific tree that Rabba was referring to, but because he basically handed the reins over to Rabba, basically, he said, okay, Rabba, you established Makom Shvisa and basically have me in mind, that was good enough. In other words, in our cases that we're describing here, we're trying to figure out what the parameters of Erev Tchumen are. Do we insist that you have to use food? Are we going to allow you to walk to the location? That's going to depend on whether you're currently in the location that you want the Erev Tchumen to be in or not. Those are the two versions in the Gemara. Well, the Gemara doesn't really specify exactly what was going on in that story, so I'm not sure if we can make any assumptions about that story and kind of carry it over to him. I'm not sure. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Masni le Rav Chiya bar Ashi le Chiya bar Rav kamei derav, echad ani ve echad ashir. So comes Rav Chiya and disagrees with everything we just said. He says, it's not true. This kula of the chachamim that you're allowed to hand it over to a shliach, that you're allowed to rely on this mako version of simply walking to the place where you want to establish your makom shvisa, that works whether you're an ani or an ashir. So amar le Rav, siim ba nami halacha ke Rabbi Huda. And in fact, we concluded that we in fact paskin like Rabbi Huda. So the Gemara says, Rabba Bar Rav Chanan have a rugil da'ase me'artivna l'pumpadisa. So Rabba Bar Rav Chanan used to often travel from the city of Artivna to Pumpadisa on Shabbos. Amar, and he would say to his shvisasi b'tzinsa, that I want my makom shvisa to be in the city of Tzinsa, which was somewhere in the middle of those two cities. So Amar le Abai my daitcha, Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Huda halacha k'Rabbi Huda, v'Amar Rav Chista machlokes b'mkom ploni, v'ha Rav Nachman v'sanya kivase. So the Gemara, so in other words, Abai turns to Rabba Bar Rav Chanan and says, hang on one second. Why, in other words, what's your justification to say way, I'm going to establish my Mokum Shvisa in that middle city, in the city of Tzinsa. He says, presumably, it's because this whole case that we've been talking about since the last daf is a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And as we pointed out last week, back on daf Mem Zayin, that generally when you have a machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, we typically follow Rabbi Yehuda. And Rav Chisto also told us that the machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda was only about a case of Mokum Ploni, namely, it was a case about where you're establishing your Mokum Shvisa in a different location. So even though Rabbi Bar Avchanan was currently in the city of Artivna, but he was justified in establishing the Erev Tchum or the Tchum to be in that other city of Tzinsa, because again, he's relying on Rav Chista's version of Rabbi Yehuda. So Abai says, but the problem is that we also pointed out on back on Daphne and Aleph that we have a Brisa that seems to support Rav Nachman's version of the Machlokes. And according to Rav Nachman, the Machlokes is only when you're in your current location, but if you're trying to establish an Erev Tchum for a different place, then everyone agrees, according to Rav Nachman, that that's not going to work. So, in other words, according to Rav Nachman, says Abaye to Rabbi Bar Avchanan, what right do you have to establish an Erev Tchumen in this other city when you're not in that city at the moment? So the Gemara says, you're right, Amar Lehadribi. So Rabbi Bar Avchanan said, you're right, I'm gonna retract my position. I'm not gonna do it anymore. In other words, apparently he was under the impression that we followed Rav Chista, and that Abaye basically said, no, that's wrong. So he said, okay, I'm gonna stop doing that. Amar Rami Bar Chama, Hare Amru, Shavas Yeshlo Dalad Amos, Hanosein Eseruvo, Yeshlo Dalad Amos Olo. So the Gemara says like this: if a person established a Makom Shvisa, so we know that he has four, in other words, we know that he has at least four amos in every direction. Even if a person finds themselves outside of a tchum, we know that they're allowed to walk four amos. That we know. The question is, if I hand my Erev Tchumen over to a shaliach, to somebody else to carry, do you also have four amos or not? So Amar Rava Tashma, Lo Amru Ma'arvin Bifasel, Lo Hakel Al Ha'asher, Shelo Yatza V'Ya'arei Beraglav. We said earlier that this notion that we can, that in other words, that you can make an Erev Tchumen with food, with bread, that was supposed to be a kula, that was supposed to be a leniency for the rich person, so we don't have to make him leave the house and walk outside. He could just, he could just put the bread down outside of his house and say, okay, I want my tchum to be established, you know, in that location. V'i amart ein lo ha'ilahakel lahachmir. But if you're going to tell me that by doing so, that by putting the food down outside of your house, what you're basically saying is that the person no longer has those four amos to walk, that's actually a chumra, because now you're limiting the area in which he's allowed to walk. So how is that a kula? So the Gemara says, no, afilu hachinecha lekehechid lo nitrach v'nepog. It's still considered a kula, because even though he's constricted and that he's not allowed to walk those four amos, but it's still better, it's still preferable for him, because it means that he doesn't have to go out and actually trouble himself to go to the location where he wants to make the tchum and establish it. There he can just stay in his house, put the bread down right here, and say, I want my tchum to be effective for that other location, even though it means that he's going to be restricted in terms of those four amos, but he's willing to give that up, so this way he doesn't have to walk all the way to that location to set up his Erev Tchumen over there.